You've discovered TalkZone.com, the best in internet talk radio. Today's compelling talk radio. It's the Dave Baum Show on TalkZone.com.
You're listening to the Dave Baum Show on TalkZone.com. Global talk is at your fingertips. We come to you at 1-888-463-6748 every Wednesday live from 11 to 1 p.m. Eastern Time. You got a point of view? You got a question? Let's talk. The issues vary. It's basically what people are talking about. And today they're talking about religion. They're talking about young women under the age of 21, under the age of 18. They're talking about what occurred about 2 months ago in Texas, in which authorities swooped down on a ranch that we'll get into in more details a little bit later, and basically took into custody, as it were, over 400 young women who were dispensed to different types of homes to stay in for the time being until the courts ruled about eventual disposition. Another matter is up in the air because courts have ruled and said that really swooping in on the ranch was a violation of the law. So in the meantime, what's happening is there are a lot of young women reunited with their moms and or dads and are both basically in a holding position until the court of last resort finally makes a decision. I often wonder whether some people really care about what the law is and what its penalties are. For example, polygamy, which for those of you listening across the globe don't know, is having more than one wife. A lot of guys are saying, God, wouldn't that be great? But the law says polygamy is against the law. Having sex with underage girls is against the law. Marrying a girl under the age of 18 is against the law in most places unless there's consent. A 16-year-old mother allegedly being abused by her middle-aged husband, a so-called prophet named Warren Jeffs. Always be skeptical of men or women who have two first names. Warren Jeffs, who runs or ran the Fundamentalist Church of Jesus Christ of the Latter-day Saints, awaiting jail in Arizona on charges of being an accomplice to rape, among other things. An April raid by authorities on the Yearning for Zion Ranch in West Texas. More than 400 children separated from their parents. Texas courts questioning the raid and now saying the kids must be returned to their parents but can't leave the state while the investigation goes on. And an elder for the cult now saying underage girls will not be allowed to marry. We'll talk about that. If the girl is not of legal consent age. The pattern here is similar to the so-called religious cults of our lifetime, at least of mine. Namely, Jim Jones. Remember that? The People's Temple? And his followers? But of course, they came to Jim, didn't they? More than 900 of them, who ended it all by drinking deadly Kool-Aid and being shot in Guyana. Usually one guy who anoints himself the king or the prince. He and his associates have their way with adult and minor women who see guys like Jones and Jeffs as being godlike. Why, I don't know. But let's look at what's called FLDS, Fundamentalist Church of Jesus Christ of the Latter-day Saints. Joining me on the Dave Baum Show is Scott Gordon, president of the Foundation for Apologetic Information and Research, an organization that defends Mormon theology. Scott, welcome to the Dave Baum Show. Nice to have you with us today.
Thank you, Dave.
Tell me about the background of your foundation, please.
Well, we're an organization that that defends the LDS Church, not the FLDS Church, but the LDS Church. We're an all-volunteer group. We got together in back in 1987 when we 1997, sorry, when we were on the internet. We noticed lots of claims about the LDS Church, lots of statements, and we decided to create a website and a group that researched and responded to those claims.
So basically, as I understand it, and once again, you're the expert on this, so you'll be filling in a lot of the cracks in the bricks, as it were. At one time, as I understand it, this offshoot was part of the Church of the Latter-day Saints. Is that right?
That is right. We had the Latter-day Saints, or the Mormons, as many people call them.
Right.
We did practice polygamy from the late 1930s, early 1940s, up until about the 1890s, and then there were a few stragglers who had difficulty making it stop, but then in the 1920s. The church pretty much said, look, if you don't knock it off, you're excommunicated, no questions asked. Well, a group of people at that time said, well, we don't like that. We want to keep doing it, and we want to keep... and so we believe now that the LDS church, for whatever reason, is gone apostate because they no longer believe in this. And so they broke off with their own group. Some of their original leaders, Lauren Woolley, was excommunicated in 1924, Leslie Broadbent excommunicated in 1929, John Barlow excommunicated in 1923. So that was kind of the area they're excommunicated. Now, Rulon Jeffs, he actually left the LDS Church later. He was kind of drawn into this group. So he was excommunicated from the LDS Church in 1941. And his son Warren, as most of the FLDS members now, have never been members of the church. So their grandparents, and in Warren's case, his dad had been LDS at one time, but most of these people, it was their grandparents that had been LDS.
Okay, so Rulon Jeffs was at one time a member, was a Mormon, but then after excommunication, et cetera, that you pointed out, his son, who is considered to be the godlike figure of the group we're talking about, the FLS, his son was never a Mormon.
His son was never a Mormon.
Okay. What are the numbers on this group or cult? Are we talking about hundreds? Or are we talking about thousands?
Probably about 10,000 we're talking about, and they're in three different areas. They have a group in a place called Bountiful Canada, and that's their more liberal wing of this group, if you want to call it that. Who sometimes didn't like what Warren had to say, so they kind of left town and established a looser link with the group.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have the group that's right on the Arizona-Utah border, and that's convenient for them because they're able to go to one state or the other depending on who was after them, I suppose. And then the Arizona group or Utah group, whatever, they sent off and created this new compound in Texas.
What is the difference, Scott? What is the difference between Mormon theology, now putting aside polygamy,
right,
but between the rest of Mormon theology and the way this cult thinks?
Well, there's one fundamental, absolute fundamental difference that we have, and that's called free agency. One of the foundational principles in the Mormon Church, I'll just call it the Mormon Church,
mm-hmm,
that most people are familiar with,
right,
is that people give counsel, people give advice, people give direction, but every individual has their free agency or their free will to decide to follow or not follow or to do things or not do things. And so, for example, if I may step back and use a polygamy example, I have a great-grandmother who was in a polygamous family, and her name was Elizabeth Crouch, and she was married to this fellow because essentially, it was back in the time when women didn't have a lot of opportunities, unfortunately,
mm-hmm,
and not a lot of employment opportunities, and there was no aid for women with dependent children, there was no welfare program, and so the way that people were taken care of is by being part of a family. And so she married this fellow as his fourth wife, and things went along somewhat okay until she decided she didn't want to be in that situation anymore. So she decided to divorce him. Well, there was no fault divorce. She divorced him, especially for the women, because the church leaders felt that being in the polygamous situation could be difficult, especially for the women. And so they were given the option, if you want to be in it, great. If you don't want to be in it, get divorced. There was no stigma. There was no repercussions. There was no being thrown out of the community. On the other side, there was no lost boys like this group has.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing that happened very strong in this church after they in the FLDS group, this is actually the second raid that the government has tried on this group. In 1953, there was a raid. It's called the Short Creek Raid because that's what their town used to be called. And shortly after that one didn't work, because all the children were given back and life went on, they decided something called this right of assignment thing, which is completely opposed. I mean, everything in our church would say, no, this is not the way to do things.
Right of assignment.
Right of assignment. And what that is...
This is the antithesis of free agency, I assume?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And what that one is where the prophet of their group assigns you to who you marry and who you don't marry, and if your husband doesn't please the prophet or doesn't follow whatever, or is it whatever reason, you know, if suddenly they fall out of favor, the wife and children are reassigned to another husband. And it's just so you can say, okay, we don't like you anymore, you're out, and your wife and kids now belong to somebody else. And so
wow.
that would be, yeah, that's very different. I should say also, in the LDS church today, there are two ways to get excommunicated almost immediately. You know, excommunication being cut off from the group. And those two ways are child molestation and polygamy. If you do either of those things, you're excommunicated. It's not, you know, you're not just counseled or tried to help. You know, granted, you may still go to counseling and such, but you are no longer a member of the church if you do that.
Scott Gordon on the Dave Baum Show, president of an organization that defends Mormon theology, and we asked him to join us because we had a dickens of a time. We're pleased to have Scott, but we had a dickens of a time trying to find people who could give us some insight on this. As I said, I'm calling them a cult because I believe they are. But who could give us some insight on the FLDS. This is the group that you've been reading about for 2 months that had its compound, its ranch, raided in West Texas and whose kids were taken and now have been returned to their parents for the time being until the court of last resort finally determines what will be and what won't be. You know, the one thing that I've always found kind of disturbing, Scott, and I'm going back as a reporter, I'm going back to Jim Jones and the People's Temple.
Yep.
I was familiar with that, and I've been familiar with the cults and all of the efforts that were made over the years of parents getting their kids back after they had been so-called brainwashed. But what really is amazing to me is, if having sex with underage girls is against the law in Utah, why has this continually happened?
You know, that's a very good question. I know that the Utah Attorney General, I don't live in Utah, from studying this, the Utah Attorney General, the current one anyway, says he's decided to start prosecuting the underage marriages, and that was, as he claims, one of the reasons they started moving some of their families to Texas. He said the Texas law at the time was weaker than the Utah or Arizona laws, and so that was why that started. But then once they got to Texas, the Texas legislature took a look at that law and revised it, because then the underage laws were just a lot weaker.
Well, I've had a problem understanding it, as you can probably tell, because if the law says you can't have sex with underage girls, why did the Utah authorities allow it? Unless, and I get that sense, they tried a couple times to see what was going on there and without getting much access, and I guess in Texas they decided this time we're going in come hell or high water.
Right. And the community in southern Utah and northern Arizona was somewhat isolated. In fact, I think that's a sign of a group that you probably don't want to be affiliated with, is just the pure isolation where they try and cut off all contact with the outside world. They were isolated, and so they had police officers and they had judges and such, but those police officers and judges were also affiliated with the FLDS community. And And so how do you go in and get something done if your law enforcement officials are also affiliated with the group? They were trying in Utah and in Arizona. They had finally got together recently, and they were trying to do some outreach programs to some of the wives in the area and trying to get some dialogue started to try to say that, no, people on the outside aren't as scary as you think, because they've been taught that anybody on the outside is evil and scary and is going to do them harm.
Tell us about Warren Jeffs, J-E-F-F-S,
yes.
who is being held by authorities and will probably spend a reasonable amount of time in a federal country club. Warren Jeffs, I assume, as you pointed out, is the son of Rulon Jeffs.
Correct.
Who apparently was one of the leaders during his time of this cult, right?
Yes.
What kind of a background does Warren Jeffs have? I mean, is a college background in theology, religion?
No. No. I don't know enough about him to say exactly what he has. I might have read a lot on him. I can't probably pull it off my fingertips. It's one of those things that I could tell you I could look things up, but I know he doesn't have any of those types of things.
So he just happens to be a guy who was around whose last name was the same as his father,
exactly.
And it was passed down to Warren Jeffs.
And I know that some of the, I know that he had some, I don't know how to gently put this, but personality issues prior to him taking a hold of the church, because I know that the church group, the FLDS church group in Bountiful, Canada, was concerned about Warren Jeffs taking control.
Oh, so they have nothing to do with him?
They still do. But
they still do?
They expressed, you know, it was one of those internal political things.
Okay. So I assume that when Jeffs finally got captured, and he was on the FBI's most wanted list for a long time, when he finally got nailed and currently is incarcerated, waiting to wind up in jail, that he passed it along to, and this is what else, who are the Jessups? Because I see a number of Jessups being quoted in news releases, being called leaders.
Yeah.
Are these cousins of Jeff's? Are they friends? What are they?
Oh, they're also members of this group. I'm sure they're family members in some sense, because this group's been isolated enough that pretty much everybody is probably related to everybody else. In fact, that's one of the things I'm curious about, is they're talking about doing DNA testing. I'm not sure what DNA testing
is going to prove. You're right. What's it going to prove?
Yeah.
Because I get the sense that since this cult has now agreed to abide by marriage age laws in all states, I have to assume that their agreement says that something untoward was going on before this agreement, and basically first cousins were marrying first cousins.
Yeah. Yeah, I would think so. The Jessups, Richard Jessup, was the church leader back in 1945. So he was a church leader prior to, one of the church leaders prior to Rulon Jeffs.
Where does this church or this cult get its money, Scott?
You know, that's one of the things that also disturbs me about the group, because clearly, polygamy is not allowed in the United States. And so what happens is a young lady gets pregnant, she has a child, and perhaps the husband marries one wife legally, but all the other wives are not legally married to him. So now we have the situation of we have a single mother. And as a single mother, of course, they get government aid. And so if you get enough single mothers getting government aid coming in, it actually creates an income stream for the group.
Okay, but that kind of an income stream, or would you assume that in order to be part of the group initially, that you would have to, and I've seen this with other cults, turn over all of your financial and material possessions?
Well, that's the other issue, is the church owns everything in the city. I mean, so the home you live in would be owned by the church, and as you go out and you work, a large not just the tithe, but a large portion of your income goes back to the church. And so this church has even put together government contracts where they've created things and they've used the church members as laborers, and the income has gone to the church. But what that means for you, as if you were a member, is if you decided to leave the church, you lose your wife, you lose your children, you lose your home, you lose all your property, you lose any, you know, you have no savings because it's all owned and controlled by the church. So it makes it very difficult to leave.
What brings women into a group like this?
Well, that's a good question. I think that the majority in the group now, you know, have been raised that way, and so they've been taught it's the right way.
Okay, they're the children. They're the children of children, perhaps.
Exactly. But there are some people that do get recruited into this group. And as with any group, you can't say anything is all bad. I mean, because I know this group teaches some good principles, and they talk about being being honest and true and following God and those various things. And I think it provides security. I think it provides a feeling of belongingness. I guess. I'm not really sure on some of this. I'm guessing at some of it.
Where do the men come into play in a cult like this?
Well, that's one of the interesting things, too. They have something called Lost Boys with this group, and I think that's... Lost Boys, and that's one of the real crimes that hasn't been talked about a lot. The Lost Boys are, if you have a closed society, just by birth rates, you're going to have more women than men. And since this group is pretty much a closed society, but they believe strongly that you need to have multiple wives, what do you do with the extra men? You have to make the math right. And so what they do is they'll take 12, 13, 14-year-old young men, and they'll say, I saw you spit on the sidewalk, we're throwing you out. And so they will go drop them off in a neighboring town and say goodbye. Here's $50. Get out of here. Don't come back.
So that leaves only young women.
That leaves only young women.
And old men.
And old men, yes.
Wow.
Yeah, that's the other thing, is I know that I've heard some of the interviews with some of these Lost Boys, and they're accused of such crimes as holding hands with a young woman, looking at a young woman inappropriately, whatever that means. We're talking, 14, 15-year-old boys.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody says, I didn't like the way you looked at her, so therefore I'm throwing you out.
And the mothers of these lost boys who are still within this cult were okay with the idea of their lost boy sons being removed.
Isn't that odd?
Wow.
I think that's very odd.
Is that... religious persuasion? What I mean by that is that the ultimate power that one man has over a flock like this, that he, whether it's a guy named Jeffs or Jones, can say to people, you will do it this way because God told me this is the way it's going to be?
That's interesting, isn't it? I'm a little sensitive on this point because Mormons are accused of being a cult. But the big difference is we participate in the world, if you want to put it that way, if you want to use the religious terms. You know, we interact freely with people. No one is restricted from being anywhere else. And we have this principle of free agency where you do what you believe is right.
Mm-hmm.
But it's interesting that these groups, especially when they go into isolation for a while, can become so, isolated or so driven that they follow everything that the one man says.
What kind of backlash is the Mormon Church getting from this story, directly or indirectly?
It's tough. I know there's been some conversations of Mitt Romney being a vice presidential candidate on the Republican ticket.
Yeah.
And my good friend who's Lutheran came up to me yesterday and said, we had a conversation yesterday with our Lutheran group, and we were concerned that the FLDS was going to have a backlash on Mitt Romney because people kind of tie the two together. For Mormons, talking about polygamy is tough because if we say, oh,
it was part of your heritage, right?
Exactly right. It was part of our heritage. It wasn't practiced the way the FLDS Church is practicing it, but most people don't want to take the time to learn any nuances. So it's part of our heritage on one hand. On the other hand, we do not practice it now. You're excommunicated if you practice it now. So if you say something bad about it, you say you're going against the heritage, and if you say something good about it, they say you're promoting it and promoting groups like the FLDS.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a tough position.
Well, I never really thought of the political ramifications if indeed George Romney gets serious consideration for McCain's number two guy. I mean,
yeah.
I mean Mitt Romney.
I know what you meant.
Wow. So the bottom line is the children are back with their parents.
Yes.
For the time being.
Yes.
What's interesting about this is, as you pointed out, very little discussed about the lost boys, which I find a fascinating aspect of this story. Very little talked about Warren Jeffs because he's in a jail waiting a federal pen somewhere in Arizona.
Right.
A lot of mentions of different Jessups, J-E-S-S-O-P-S.
Correct.
All different kinds of Jessups. Bright little, cute little girls, blondes, redheads.
Yeah.
Don't see minorities.
No. No, the FLDS Church does not believe that that blacks should be part of the church at all. So they don't have any minorities there.
So we would not see then. Obviously, we would not see any black children or any red children or any brown children in this group of 468.
No, you should not.
What do you think the ultimate outcome is going to be on this, since it has received such a major glare of publicity over the last 2 months?
You know, that's a very difficult question. On one hand, I'm glad someone tried to reach out and do something. On the other hand, I think it's difficult when you have CPS coming in, Child Protective Services, mm-hmm. coming in and taking away infants from their mothers and saying they're doing it to protect the children. Now, you know, as a partial outsider, one foot in the camp, one foot out of the camp, I look at that and I say, I'm sure that those children are at risk when they start getting to be teenage years. But I'm also sure those mothers would want to take care. I mean, I'm sure they'd be good care providers for the 1-year-olds, 2-year-olds, and the younger children who probably aren't at risk. And so I internally I have this struggle over whether or not the Texas authorities overstepped their bounds, which the court seems to say they did now,
mm-hmm.
or whether they were doing a great service in working with this group.
You also kind of wonder, Scott, in the closed society that these mothers and daughters have lived in, do you think that they could exist in the world outside of the Zion Ranch?
Well, that's also interesting. There have been a few women who have left the group. One of the famous ones was one of the Jessup women, and she's been helping Carolyn Jessup. In fact, she's written a book on it called Escape, and I'm not plugging her book, but mm-hmm. but she has written a book on this. She talks about escaping with her children, how her children didn't want to escape, and how difficult it was convincing or tricking them actually into coming out of the group. And then now her oldest daughter is of age. Her oldest daughter has moved back into the group.
Wow.
So it's interesting.
Scott, thank you very much for your time today. The Foundation for Apologetic Information and Research, the Mormon Theology, the Mormon Faith. I appreciate your insights and your input very much.
Thank you very much. Our website is fairlds.org.
That's fairlds.org.
Yes.
Thank you again.
Thank you very much.
The Dave Baum Show will continue with a young woman who escaped the FLDS, former child bride who helped bring to justice polygamous sect leader Warren Jeffs, the man that we were talking about, tells her revealing and inspiring story in a book called Stolen Innocence. We will spend a few minutes with Alyssa Wall after these on the Dave Baum Show.